والصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي المكي المدني العبد المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد أبو القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها، قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Well, those of you who can come a little closer, please, I would appreciate. May Allah bless you all. Loud salawat. Last night we spoke about the importance of crying for Sayyidul Shuhada and importance of commemorating Muharram and the importance of grieving and mourning for Sayyidul Shuhada and the martyrs of the tragedy of Karbala, and some of the ahadith and narrations on this subject. We also discussed the effect of mourning, the effect of crying for Sayyidul Shuhada, Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa on our own awakening and on the opening up of our hearts and awakening and revival of our intellect and uqul, and that it is a path of guidance, for it is an open path which leads everyone to salvation. Anyone who comes on this, in this gathering, anyone who comes and realizes the importance of these morning sessions, importance of these majalis, importance of crying for Sayyidul Shuhada, importance of who Imam Hussain was and what he stood for, knowing about the some aspects at least of the causes of Ashura and some of the teachings of Imam alayhi salam, this person will find himself gaining more intelligence, more knowledge, and his soul will become alive and will gain a momentum, if I could say that, in pursuing the path of morality, pursuing the course of morality, the course of human perfection, the course of being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a divine invitation. This Muharram, which falls in the beginning of the Islamic calendar every year, the very first day of Muharram takes us into the history of Ashura and the memory of the martyrs of Karbala, and about who they were and what they said and what they stood for. All of these are huge and big questions for the intellect, for people who think, for people who still have the quest for learning, still have in themselves the search, you know, the search to know the reality. And their intelligence has not been subdued or compromised by their desires, by the pursuit of worldly pleasures, whose intellect and uqul have not been undermined by the illusion, elusive dreams of this life, whose sense of right and wrong has not been corrupted by the immediate pleasures of this life and long dreams that never come true. They have prepared themselves for something bigger than this life. They are seeking to achieve a goal that only a sharp mind can grasp, although it will not materialize in this life. But their minds grasp that goal, and their souls absorb the meaning of that. Therefore they pursue that goal, although the two eyes in their heads cannot see that goal. That destination is not visible to these two eyes. But their spirits are a witness to the truth of that goal. They see beyond the material things. They see beyond what everyone sees. And therefore, it affects their morality. It affects their thinking. It affects their actions. The actions are not the actions of corrupt people. The actions are not the actions of sinful people. The actions are not the actions of oppressive and unjust people. Because they have cleansed themselves. This crying for Sayyidul Shuhada has purified their souls. This crying for Abi Abdullah has cleansed their souls and has awakened their minds. This conscience and all these names given to the conscience, Damir, Aql, Nafs, Wijdan, which all point to one reality, which is the human reality, the essence, what human being really is, that becomes alive. And when that becomes alive, a person is not blinded by things that don't matter anymore. There are things that are very superficial and are transient. They will go as soon as death comes. All those things that a person is trying to achieve in this life, which many of them do not even come true, as in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, where one day in the company of his companions, the Holy Prophet of Islam drew a line on the sand, on the ground, and he said, "This is the human being." And then he said, he drew another line on the ground. He said, "These are the dreams, amal or zuhawa. These are the dreams, khahishat. These are the dreams of this human being." Then between these two lines, he drew another line. He said, "This is death. This is death. It comes between a person and his dreams." Of course, some dreams may be, some objects may be, more realistic, or may come true. Let me put it this way. But a lot of dreams do not. In fact, and every second, death is between us and the dreams. Every second. And it can come and block our path to the dreams. We are talking about worldly dreams. I will achieve this career goal. I will have these dreams come true. And all of these things that relate to this world, death can come anytime. So it is always there. If it would appear, is by the will of Allah. Who dies and who does not, where he dies. But a person whose soul, whose nafs, which is the quality of the soul, which we will talk about inshallah in these discussions, that when a person can grasp those great meanings, those universal meanings, right, then a person is not investing too much into these dreams. Is not. His main investment is what helps him grow as a human being. Grow as a human being. In his intellect. And in the morality of a human being. That is what. And why we say crying for Imam Hussain is so important is because it helps in both these aspects. Sayyidul Shuhada's uprising in Karbala, 50 years after the demise of the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala, it was by the will of Allah. There are, before I go ahead, by the will of Allah, when I say, from all the humble efforts and studies into the khutbat of Imam al-Islam and into some philosophy, we see that there are things that our minds can comprehend by thinking. By thinking we comprehend certain things. And there are things that we cannot understand them. We need a revelation. We need a religion to tell us those things. We cannot learn them. As simple as, for example, how to pray. It's as simple as that. How to pray, for example. How exactly, let's say in Maghrib time, if you believe there is a God, then if you want to communicate, talk to Allah, and that, what is the proper way? And we as human beings, and I'm not talking about any particular religion, any human being, if he does not learn this from a religion, there's no way he can understand it. There's no way. And not just this, any laws, religious laws, social laws, and ethics. Of course, the general, the basic concepts of ethics, human beings understand them. But any detail about that, how you should deal with this particular person, how should you relate to such person, your teacher, your father, right, your brother, and lots of other things, rights of people. These are not things that we can figure out ourselves. Of course, to some extent we can. But there's a huge, big area that human beings have problem understanding them. Religion comes to fill that big void, gap in our learning. Religion comes and helps us. For example, pray like this, at this time, in this manner, so many rakat, for example. And let's say once a year, this month comes, you have to fast, or take up this journey to Makkah and perform Hajj of Baytullah al-Haram. These are things we learn from religion. Why I'm mentioning this is because if you look at the timing of the uprising of Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This was given to him as a command from Allah and His Prophet. The Hussein, this is time for you to rise. This is time for you to wake this ummah. This is time for you to give your blood. Although uprising against Muawiyah or Yazid or any of those is always important. But to reach a level of importance that Imam al-Islam would go, right, even without any Ansar, even without anyone to help him. Him alone standing in the face of all the society and all the oppressors, that was a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we find in the narrations regarding this incident. If we will go over that, we recite Allah's salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. In Medina, Imam al-Islam, when he after the demand of allegiance, Bayat was demanded from him. Yazid had written to the Hakim of Medina, and the dialogue happened. They asked Imam al-Islam to accept Yazid, and Imam refused. And those some of the reasons we mentioned last night. Then Imam went back to the haram of his grandfather. And there he offered few rak'at of prayers. And then he started conversing with the Prophet of Allah. He started Razu Niyaz, started Munajat with his grandfather. And it was sometime, and in the words that Imam al-Islam said while holding the grave of his grandfather, he said, Allahumma inna hadha qabru nabiyyik. Oh Allah, my Lord, this is the grave of your Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wa anabnu binti nabiyyik. And I am the son of the daughter of your Prophet. Wa qad hadarani min al-amri ma qad alimta. And a matter has occurred for me that you have knowledge of. You know about it. Allahumma inni uhibb. The situation, the circumstance that has developed O Allah, you have full knowledge of it. Allahumma inni uhibbul ma'ruf. O Allah, I love the ma'ruf. The highest of all ma'ruf is adl. Among all human virtues, the most, the highest of, and universal, most universal of all kamalat of human being is justice, adl. Adl, discussion is long about adl, but in short, adl, the person knows that things should be placed where they deserve to be placed. اِعْتَاءُ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. Anyone who deserves a right, or anything that deserves a right, must be given that right, be put in its proper place, right? أُحِبُّ الْمَعْرُوفِ. I love all ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is something known to the aql as good. Ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is something known to the human aql as good. Right? وَأُنْكِرُ الْمُنْكَرُ. And I reject and I detest. I do not like what? Al-munkar. Something that is rejected by the intellect. Human aql can see and understand this is wrong. This is evil. Right? The evil of that thing, a human aql understands it. Now either understand it directly, right? Or with the help of Shariat. With the help of the guidance of Shariat. But in any case, human aql understands it. Ultimately, the decision maker in human existence is the aql that Allah has granted to human beings and has not granted to any animals, any beings on this earth other than human beings. وَأُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرُ وَأَنَا أَسْأَلُكَ. And I supplicate and I ask you, يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. O the one who has the mighty might and glory and honor, بِحَقِّ الْقَبْرِ وَمَنْ فِيهِ. I ask you with the right of this grave and the one who rests in this grave, what do I ask you? إِلَّا اِخْتَرْتَ لِي مَا هُوَ لَكَ رَضًا. That you choose for me what is pleasing to you, in which there is your grace, your pleasure, your rida in that, right? You choose for me what is best for me, that means in which your pleasure exists. وَلِرَسُولِكَ رِضًا. And that which will please your prophet, your messenger. And then he began crying over there. This is the maqtal in which they write that Imam alayhi salam started crying and crying until it got close to sahar, close to the morning of dawn, close to dawn. And then at some point where Imam alayhi salam was crying and crying, he put his head on the grave. And as if he had transcended, if I could use the word, to another world. And he saw, فَإِذَا هُوَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And he witnessed, he saw in front of him the Prophet of Allah, قَدْ أَقْبَلَ فِي كَتِيبَةٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That he is coming towards him, surrounded by a very large number of angels. On his right, on his left, and in front of him were all these angels. فَضَمَّ الْحُسَيْنِ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. And he embraced his grandson, Husayn ibn Ali, to his chest. وَقَبَّلَ مَا بَيْنَ عَيْنَهِ. And he kissed his forehead between his two eyes, that part the Holy Prophet kissed. He always used to kiss this part on the forehead of Imam. قَالَ حَبِيبِي يَا حُسَيْنِ. He said, this is in Maqtal and in Bihar of Al-Umma Majlisi, حَبِيبِي يَا حُسَيْنِ. My beloved, my Hussein. كَأَنِّي أَرَاكَ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ مُرَمَّلًا بِلِبَائِكَ. O Hussein, it is as if I can see you very soon, that you will be covered by your blood. مَذْبُوحًا بِأَرْضِ كَرْبٍ وَبَلَى. You will be slaughtered on the land of Karbala. Karbin Wabala. The land of Karbin Bala is also come in hadith, and land of Karbala is also. Karbala was the name, and it was the name as if by will of Allah, that it became Karbala because of it was made from Karb and Wabala. Min isabatin min ummati. Right? Who will kill you? Who is going to slaughter you? Those who will slaughter you will belong to my nation. They will be people who will call themselves Muslims, just like today, who slaughter our fellow brothers and sisters, who kill young people, innocent people all over the world, these Salafis and these Taliban and these other Wahhabiyin, these people, right? They call themselves the nation of Prophet. They call themselves Muslims. وَأَنْتَ مَعَ ذَلِكَ عَطْشَان. And you, Hussein, are thirsty. لَا تُسْقَى. And you will not even be given water before they slaughter you. Because it is a Muslim culture and tradition. It is and sunnat of Holy Prophet that when, before slaughtering an animal, you give water to the animal. وَظَمْآنَ لَا تُرْوَى. You're thirsty and you will not be, your thirst will not be quenched. وَهُمْ مَعَ ذَلِكَ يَرْجُونَ شَفَاعَتِي. The strange thing is that even after committing this crime, they will be seeking my shafaat. That means they will be so misguided that they will hope that to receive my shafaat on the day of judgment despite being involved in this kind of crime. وَمَا لَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. And they have no place in before Allah. حَبِيبِي يَا حُسَيْنِ. This heartbreaking line, you listen and you hear with your soul and you think forever. He said, حَبِيبِي يَا حُسَيْنِ إِنَّ أَبَاكَ وَأُمَّكَ وَأَخَاكَ. My beloved, my Hussein, your father, your mother and your brother, قَدِمُوا عَلَيَّ. They have come to me now. وَهُمْ مُشْتَاقُونَ إِلَيْكَ. They are waiting anxiously for you. وَإِنَّ لَكَ فِي الْجِنَانِ لَدَرَجَاتِ. And for you there are places, right, in the paradise, the highest place, لَنْ تَنَالْهَا إِلَّا بِالشَّهَادَةِ. That you can never reach those places without being sacrificed, without sacrificing yourself. Because without giving your life, you cannot reach that place. This timing, this announcement and this command coming to the our Imam, right? In that dawn, right, of the day when right after, well, it was the second night in fact, after the demand of allegiance, he spent that night at Haram, and as some narrations go, and he was in the city, and next night he was there the whole night, and that's where the sahar of that night, close to the dawn, that's where he had this vision of his grandfather, and right after he set out. And how he did that? It says that he returned, he woke up from that, فَزِعًا مَرْعُوبًا, as if he was overwhelmed by this vision. Seeing the Prophet in this manner, right, being given this assignment, this huge mission, that no one in history has been given, right, to take his family, to take with him his brothers, his nephews, his sons, everyone to that place of sacrifice, right? It was, you compare that with the duty assigned to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. You look at the duty assigned to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? And you compare the duty, this command given to Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And you will probably see at least some glimpse of what this means. What sort of a mission Allah gave to Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat. Allahumma salam. He came to his house, وَقَسَّ رُؤْيَاهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. Told his family what his dream, his vision was. وَبَنِي عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ فَلَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ لَا فِي شَرْقِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي غَرْبِهَا قَوْمٌ أَشَدُّ غَمًّا مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. When Imam Hussein disclosed this command of the grandfather and the Prophet of Allah, right? There was no house in the whole world which had more sadness, right, than this house. وَلَا أَكْثَرْ بَاكِيًا وَبَاكِيَةً مِنْهُمْ. And there was no house in the whole world at that time where they had more people crying than this house of Bani Abdul Muttalib, the grandchildren of Abdul Muttalib, and the sons and daughters of Ali Murtaza alayhi salatu wasalam. This house, salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This duty at this particular time was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, because it was in the knowledge of Allah that to wake up the people, to bring people back to the call of their, I would say, conscience and the duty towards Islam, both. Because the first and foremost duty is to ourselves. Right? Every human being has a duty to himself and herself. If a person does disregard the duty to himself, no religion can save him. No religion can guide him. Quran is hudan lil muttaqeen. People who are responsible to themselves, Quran is a guidance for them. People who are not responsible, that means their hearts are dead. And hearts in the language of Holy Quran is the aql. Aql is dead. All you can think of is food. All you can think of is future, is job, and this is all you can think of. This person, if he cannot think about anything else, his aql has been compromised by such fantasies. Well, this person is very hard unless he turns it around. Unless he turns it around. And Karbala and this mourning and azadari is the first and a major step in our reform. It's the major and the biggest. One would say that, and you look at the seerah of ulama and hukama and mujtahideen and muhaddithin, all. When it came to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, right, they found that it is there as if like a cure for all their ills. The most learned of them, or the person, a common person who probably has not even basic education maybe. This is a cure. This is a medicine. This is a treatment for ailments, illnesses of the soul. All the immoral things that exist, the roots of which exist in the soul, right? This is a major step, right, in the correction, right? In the correction of all those illnesses. The Imam alayhi salam rose up for the biggest issue in this world, biggest issue, which is the issue of justice. Issue of justice, that he said, this I will not compromise on this. I will not negotiate. I will not reconcile. This is not an issue we can negotiate over. He did not negotiate over. Because the corruption was being done both to the people and to Islam. To human beings, to society and to Islam. Another person in place of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam would say that, well, Islam is being compromised. Islam is being corrupted, society is being wronged and oppressed, right? Well, at least I am safe. I should save myself. I should save my family. My tribe, for example, is not standing up with me. My other friends, other supporters, other people who respect me are not with me on this mission. They are not. Another person you will see that will say that, well, I will be left all alone, most likely. But Imam alayhi salatu wasalam did not do that. He preferred the cause and the interests of the larger society over his personal interests. He preferred. He said, it is more important to save the society than to save my body. To save my body, right, at the expense of the whole humanity is not a good bargain. Hussein did not accept it. He said, no, I will not. And all the words of Imam alayhi salam, and it was a decision, this was a command, and the decision Imam alayhi salam made was, death is the best choice. Death. And he made it very clear. Before setting out for this journey, he made it very clear. In Mecca, this is Balad al-Amn, right? This is the house of, it's a sanctuary. Killing anyone is not allowed, even an insect. Even to uproot a tree or a plant is not allowed for a person. But it was not safe for him. And he could have had many plans in his mind. For example, find refuge in one of the mountains or go to some other nation far away from this place. Right? Or go back to a city and reach an understanding with the rulers so that he will be safe. No. He is responding to his voice of his conscience and the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what he is responding to. Right? He is responding to himself as a human being. There is no way a person can compromise on this big of an issue. Where everything is at stake. The human values which will be compromised and it will confuse people forever. And it's going to, right, be an endorsement to the corruption against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Dishonesty. These things being done to the message of Allah and to guidance, this thing is unacceptable. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam declared in the beginning of his mission that he chose death. إِنِّ لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتِ إِلَّا سَعَادَتِ. He said, I do not see death except sa'adat means ultimate success. It is more than, for them, worldly success. إِنِّ لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتِ إِلَّا سَعَادَتِ. Mawt, I do not see it as anything except success, salvation, right? وَلَا الْمَوْتِ وَلَا الْحَيَاتِ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا بَرَمَا. And I do not see life of disgrace with the oppressors except a humiliation and a loss. That's how I see it. He saw that one course of action, right, is going to perfect his soul. Another course of action is going to corrupt his soul. وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّهَا. Allah says, by the soul and that and one who perfected the soul. وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. And the one who inspired the human soul of what is bad, evil, and what is good. He inspired, Allah perfected the soul. The construction, the making of the soul is very unique. It requires, for a person who wants to make himself a successful person in this life and in the next life, must first know what the soul is. What is its relation to our body? What are the powers of the soul that govern this body? And what is good for the soul and what is bad for it? How to use it? How to use this body for the perfection of the soul? These are the things that for any human being should be of interest. As you can see in history, in all times, in all generations, people were always concerned about akhlaq and morality. And it was the biggest moral question of the time that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam answered. Biggest moral issue of justice. Because every other moral quality, right, is governed by adl. Every other thing, every other, all the makarim, all the kamalat, all the things that are praised, right, in all the revealed religion and texts, you will feel that adl, you will see that adl is the greatest, the most praiseworthy of all. To the extent that there are times when sidq, honesty, truthfulness. Truthfulness, you know, there is a place where truthfulness is not good. Truthfulness generally is good. You, in Quran, Rabbi adkhilni mudkhala sidqan. Right? Quran says you should be truthful. But there are times if you are saying a truth will cause someone to be killed, right? An innocent person to be killed, are you going to make him die because of saying the truth? Because this sort of truth will be an injustice to the person. If an innocent person, you know this innocent person will be killed by this zalim, if you disclose his position to the zalim, are you supposed to say the truth to the oppressor? Or are you going to save the life of an innocent person? Which one will you choose? You will try to save the life of the innocent person, right? So, justice is supreme. It is unjust to kill an innocent person, right? Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave a message by his uprising that when your silence is a support for oppression, right, then your death is the price you should pay. Your life is the price you should pay, right? To stay away from the zalimeen, if that is the ultimate price. Well, we see that this is Imam alayhi salam was not the only person who was willing to make this understanding, to make this sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loud salawat, please. Naam salana Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. His companions were with him too. His companions were with him. They all made the sacrifice. Naturally, the people on the other side, they were also given the same choice, but they decided in the wrong way. The same choices were given to all of the people. And to us today, the same choices are being offered to us. In those times, the choice was between the governorship of Rey for Ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, he was given a choice. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, he invited him to go and take over the governance of the city of Rey. And then he said, before you do that, pass by Karbala and take care of Husayn ibn Ali and then go and reach your dream. He has this dream that he will have the governorship of the city of Rey. Ubaidullah said, first enticed him, he said, you should go. I will talk to Yazid and you will have this position and all the power and influence and money and everything involved in it. Right? Once he was ready, his soul, the fujur of his soul came into play. Right? Then Ubaidullah said, well, you have to go through Karbala. You have to go and complete this mission, kill Husayn ibn Ali, and then go. If you do not, then leave this matter and forget about the governorship of Rey. This was the choice he had to make. The same choice was given to Hur. The same choice was given to many people in Karbala. If you look at the numbers, how many chose the worldly interests over the interests of their soul, interests and interests of deen and akhirat, right? You see the numbers, the odds. See how few from all the society, how few people made the right choice. Only 72 people. But I would say 72 is a big number. Big number. Because other imams did not have those 72. They did not even probably have 5 or 6 of these people in their given time. Imam alayhi salam had 72 who stood up with him and made the same choice as the imam did. That's why they have been praised by all our imams in words that no one has been praised in history before. Imam said, I have not known any ashab more loyal than my ashab. Well, didn't Imam Hussain know the ashab of Rasulullah? Didn't Sayyid al-Shuhada know about the ashab of Holy Prophet who died in the battle of Badr? Those who were killed in the battles that followed, Uhud and other places, didn't Sayyid al-Shuhada know about the ashab of Holy Prophet, right? In other places, in all the other battles. And many were killed. And they were loyal people, but there were none who were as loyal as the companions of Sayyid al-Shuhada Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Well, as one, you could line up many reasons why they were higher in virtue than all the ashab of Holy Prophet. Well, some reasons you could see. One of the reasons is that Quran does not promise them death. Ashab al-Badr, all those people who went to the battles, Quran doesn't say go and die. No, he said maybe you have victory, maybe you have shahadat. Ihdal husnayain, either the glory of shahadat or the glory of success in the battle or war. So they went striving to be victorious, or if not, shahadat is another success before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But the ashab of Sayyid al-Shuhada, they came for shahadat. They came knowing that they are going for shahadat. But there is no other ending, there's no other goal. This is the assignment. This is the mission for which they have been asked to go. Imam Hussain said in Makkah before leaving, خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَى وُلْدِ آدَمْ مَخَطَّ الْقَلَادَةِ فِي جِدِ الْفَتَحِ. He says that death has been written for all the sons of Adam, just like a necklace around the neck of a bride. It looks as good, as pretty, as nice, and as needed. Death is like that for every human being. وَمَا أَوْلَهَنِي إِلَىٰ أَصْلَافِ إِشْتِيَاقَ يَعْقُوبِ إِلَىٰ يُوسُفِ. How anxious I am to see my ancestors, just as Ya'qub was anxious to see Yusuf alayhi salam. This is how much I am waiting to see. And Imam alayhi salam says, this hadith itself is a maqtal and a musibah. You could read this hadith and cry forever. وَمَا أَوْلَهَنِي الْأَسْجَى. Then he said, وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَسْرَعُونَ أَنَا لَاقِي. He said, a place of killing, a place of shahadat has been chosen for me, that I will reach that place. Karbala is my place and I will reach that, no matter what. كَأَنِّي بَأَوْصَالِي تَتَقَطَّعُهَا أَسَلَانُ الْفَلَوَاتِ. He said, as if I can see the limbs and parts of my body being torn by the wolves between two places of Nawawis and Karbala. They're tearing my body apart. فَيَمْلَأَنَّ مِنِّي أَكْرَاشًا. So that they will fill their stomachs by killing me. وَأَجْرِبَةً سَغْبًا. And they will fill their bags with money. Right? By taking the life of Hussein and his followers and his family members. لَا مَحِيسَ عَنْ يَوْمٍ خُطَّ بِالْقَلَمِ. There is no escape from the day that Allah has written for a human being. There is no escape from that. That day Allah has written. And there is no escape from that. Last night we, kal humne baat ki janab muslim ki safir imam alaihi salam, lekin waqt baqi na raha muslim ke atfal aur beton ka zikr kar dega. Ibrahim aur Muhammad 8 aur 9 saal ke do aapke nonehal sahibzade hain. Ye bacche the jo aapke saath pahunche the kufa shahar. اور جناب مسلم کا جو واقعہ تھا بچوں کے سامنے پیش آیا. شاید جو تماشائی کھڑے دیکھ رہے تھے جناب مسلم کا سر قلم ہونا, یہ بچے بھی شاید موجود ہوں, ان کے سامنے تھا, ان کے سامنے یہ واقعہ. وہ گرفتار کر لیے گئے تھے اور ان کو زندان میں ڈالا گیا تھا. تاریخ لکھتی ہے کہ عبید اللہ نے جو زندان بنایا تھا وہ اتنا گہرا تھا کہ 40 قدم نیچے جا کر زمین سے وہ زندان تھا, اور جو قیدی پکڑا جاتا تھا اس کو ان سیڑھیوں پر گرا دیا جاتا تھا. اور وہ لڑکتا ہوا نیچے جا کے گرتا تھا زخمی حالت میں, اور ایسے ہی چھوڑ دیا جاتا تھا اس کو, اور بری حالت میں رکھا جاتا تھا موت اور زندگی کے درمیان. ان بچوں کو, ان معصوم بچوں کو اس حالت میں خدا جانے کتنے دن اس طرح رکھا گیا. آج بھی ان کی قبریں دور ہیں, آج بھی ان کی قبریں دور ہیں. ظاہر جاتے ہیں آنسو بہانے کے لیے. ابراہیم چھوٹا تھا, محمد بڑا تھا. جب بہت دن گزر گئے اور بدن لاغر ہو گئے, کمزور ہو گئے بھوک اور پیاس سے, بچوں نے ایک دوسرے سے کہا کہ بھائی ہم تو علی کے نواسے ہیں اور ہمارے نانا نے اس شہر میں حکومت کی ہے, سلطنت کی ہے, چل کے فریاد کرتے ہیں اس داروغہ سے, اس زندان کے, کہ ہم پر رحم کرے اپنے رسول کا واسطہ دے کر. یہ آتے ہیں در زندان پر آ کر فریاد کرتے ہیں. ایک بوڑھا شخص زندان بان وہ آ کر پوچھتا ہے کیا بات, کہ ہم لوگ تمہیں کیا غم, ہم لوگ مدینہ کے رہنے والے, مدینہ میں کس محلے سے, ہم محلے بنی ہاشم سے رہنے والے, کیا تم علی مرتضیٰ کو جانتے ہو؟ علی کا نام سن کر وہ شخص دہل گیا, کانپنے لگا, کہا تمہاری علی سے کیا نسبت, وہ ہمارے نانا, ہم فرزندان مسلم ابن عقیل ہیں. یہ سننا تھا وہ شخص خوف سے کانپنے لگا, اس نے ایک زندان کا دروازہ کھول دیا اور ان کی ہتھکڑیوں کو, ان کی زنجیروں کو, اور توخ جو ان کی گردن پہ تھا اس کو کھول دیا اور کہا تم لوگ آزاد ہو, چلے جاؤ. بچوں نے کہا اگر ہو سکے, ممکن ہو تو ہمیں اس کاروان میں جگہ دلا دے جو مدینہ کی طرف جا رہا ہے, کیونکہ ہمیں معلوم ہے ہمارے بابا مارے گئے لیکن ہماری ماں ابھی بھی زندہ ہے, ہماری راہ دیکھ رہی. شخص نے اپنے غلام سے ان بچوں کو قافلے کی طرف بھیجا. قافلہ نکل چکا تھا, گرد کاروان نظر آ رہی تھی. ان بچوں سے غلام نے کہا جاؤ اس کا پیچھا کرو, اس قافلے سے مل جاؤ, وہ تمہیں مدینہ لے جائے گا. بچے چھوٹے چھوٹے صحرا میں دوڑتے رہے, قافلے کو نہ پا سکے.
अब शहर के बाहर एक जगह पर सोच रहे थे हम क्या करें, रात इसी तरह गुजार दी। सुबह का वक्त आया, एक भाई ने दूसरे से कहा, अरे उबैदुल्लाह के सिपाही हमारी तलाश में निकलेंगे, जैसे ही उसको पता चलेगा अब क्या करें। बेटे ने, बड़े भाई ने कहा कि हम इस खजूर के दरख्त पर चढ़ जाते हैं, शायद हमारी जान बच जाए। चल गए दरख्त पे, सुबह का वक्त था, कनीज इस घर से निकली पानी भरने के लिए। जो उसने पानी में अक्स देखा तो दो चांद चमकते हुए नजर आ रहे। उसने ऊपर देखा, तुम बच्चों वहां क्या कर रहे हो, तुम्हारे नाम क्या है, कौन हो तुम? उसने कहा हम मुस्लिम इब्ने, उन्होंने कहा हम मुस्लिम इब्ने अकील के फर्जंद हैं। वो कनीज दौड़ती हुई घर में गई और कहा अपनी अपनी मालिकन को कहा, अपनी आका उनको कहा कि तुम जो चाहने वाली हो अहले बैत की, इस वक्त मुस्लिम के बच्चे बाहर दरख्त पर हैं। वो दौड़ी दौड़ी आई और वास्ता दिया रसूलुल्लाह का कि आइए नीचे हमारे घर में, हम आपको पनाह देंगे। लेकिन उसकी खबर मुख्तसर ये कि उसकी खबर हाकिम उसके आदमी तक, बेटे तक पहुंच गई और उसने जाके उन बच्चों को थप्पड़ मार कर घर से बाहर निकाला और जो रास्ते में आया उसको कत्ल किया। नहर के किनारे पहुंचा, उन बच्चों को कत्ल करना चाहता था, बड़ा भाई कहता था पहले मुझे, छोटा भाई कहता था पहले मुझे। आखिर बच्चों ने नमाज अदा की और उसके बाद बेटों ने कहा कि हम वसीयत करना चाहते हैं, अगर तुम पूरा कर दो, जब हमें मार दो, जब हमारे सर कलम कर दो, तो हमारे पैराहन को हमारे खून से रंगीन कर दो और हो सके तो उसे मदीना रवाना कर दो, क्योंकि हमारी माँ हमारा रास्ता देखती है, वो हमारे पैराहन को देखकर उसको दिल आसूदा हो जाएगा, मेरे बच्चे शहीद हो गए।
لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك منا جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقينا وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد منا لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام يا حسين